Jesus also said to the multitudes, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the very last copper." For the last few days at Mass, Jesus has been making very strong and uncompromising comments. Quite often we reduce Christ to a series of everything of nice stories and healing, for mercy, forgiveness. A challenging Christ is not really all that easy to preach. Many times we reduce God to a function for times of need. We turn in prayer during sickness, troubles, or in the face of death. We ask why God allows natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, landslides. We despair as the economy collapses, or when hunger strikes, or when neighbors kill. We predict Armageddon and claim that things will only get worse. The prophets of doom are everywhere, heralding the fall of society, the death of learning, the bondage of humanity. Reading the signs isn't difficult. The earth will always quake, the winds will blow, the rains will fall. The planet, just like any home, it's physical, it will break, deteriorate, and even collapse. Like all creation, it must obey the reactions of physics, and it cannot be any way other. However, moral decay is in our hands. It is humans that cheat each other in the marketplace. It is people who murder other people. It is societies that wage war. And time and time again, we get turned away from the signs that are all about us, and the banal lives of politicians or celebrities clog our senses. And we bay for blood, for the wrongdoers, to see everybody in prison, and that will be the solution to all ills. And God is a God of life. We have very little respect for life. Consequently, we have very little respect for God. We have little respect for God, and the signs of that are all about us. Think of a few of the examples that will crop up. Does internet pornography help or hinder human relationships? Would the death of a family pet cause more upset to you than the death of a stranger from starvation in a land far, far away? How many of us spend our time blaming our parents, teachers, and people who went before us for every single thing that's wrong with us, and even use it as an excuse to do things wrong? Have we created a victim culture that, instead of looking for the triumph of humanity, almost goes as far as despising the person who tries to overcome their past? These are some of the signs of the times. And these are certainly signs of a people that have wandered far away from God. And they're the kind of sign that would have prompted any of the great prophets to declare God's displeasure and wrath. That's not the way we speak anymore. It's not the kind of language we use today. But our situation is exactly the same as it was during the various times of Israel's discomfort. Now it's time to take the gospel of life and to bring it to a people who walk in darkness, as Isaiah spoke. It is time to tell of the potential of what we can be. The signs might not be good. They might even frighten us. And certainly there's plenty of commentators out there spreading dire directives of fear. But they're not offering a solution. Who is offering a solution? Who is offering hope? If the followers of the one who died to overcome death and bring life aren't up to it, who will be? Who will be a messenger of hope? Let our prayer be, "Here I am, Lord, send me."